Good evening, everyone. This Shabbos, we're going to read in Shul the Parshas Achimos and Kedoshim. And what I want to do today is like a little bit of an uncomfortable topic, but it's something that's always intrigued me, and that is how the Torah uses one particular word that appears basically in the same context, both in the first Parsha of Achimos, as well as the second Parsha of Kedoshim. And I want to look at, you know, where else in the Torah is the word used, and can that perhaps help us better understand why the Torah decides to use this term here in our parshas, and as well as the other places where it's used in the Torah. And the word I'm referring to is the word toeva, and toeva we generally translate as an abomination. We'll see Rashi in a couple places refers to it as davar sone, something that God hates. That's something that God detests. And so famously, and again, it's a whole large discussion, which I'm not going to go into this evening, but it's an important conversation. Where it's used in this week's Parsha is in the lists of the various arayot, the various prohibited relationships that the Torah does not allow us, the human beings, to engage in, one person to another. And specifically, I'm in again Parshas First Achimos, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk of Beis. Famously, Ves Zachar Lo Tishkav Mishkeve Isha, and another man, one should not lie like one lies with a woman. Toeva he, it is a toeva. Again, we'll translate it as abomination. And generally, it's a very it's a very strong term. And, this is the homosexual act is what the Torah refers to as an abomination. And clearly, there's a very strong condemnation of that behavior. It's repeated in Parshas Kedoshim, where in Kedoshim, it once again lists the various arayot, the various prohibited relations and the punishments associated with it. And so here it's in Perek Chaf. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'isha Shir Yishkav Ezachar Mishkeve Isha. Again, a man who lies with another man, a person will lie with a woman. To'eva Asu Shneim. They both performed an abomination, and it's against a capital offense. And so, what strikes me again is this term, such a strong term that the Torah uses. But what I find very interesting is that this is not the only deed that the Torah is opposed to, that it calls a toeva. And so what I'd like to do with you is to show you some of the other things that the Torah calls a toeva and try to figure out, is there some, common denominator? Is there something that sort of ties all these different behaviors together? Why the Torah is going to call it a toeva? Now, it should be pointed out that when it comes to these arayot, these various prohibitions, people that you're not allowed to have relations with, so in this week's parsha it lists many relatives, a man and his mother and his sister and his aunt and various different relationships, and when the Torah does a wrap up at the end of Achimos, of all these things that the Torah has prohibited, including bestiality and all these, again, prohibited relationships. So the Torah says the following. This is Perek Yud Ches, beginning Pasuk Vav. Ushmartem es lukosai v'smishpatai. You should guard my statutes, my ordinances. V'losas subi kotoi v'osela. And don't do any of these abominations. So now we're expanding the definition. Not only is it referring to the homosexual act, apparently, all these, this entire list of forbidden relationships that, you can't marry a woman and then also marry her sister. So all those things are included in this. He has called toivos like Ha'el, because all of these abominations that I've just listed, asu anshei haaretz asher bnei nechem, the people who have lived in the land before you, right? The Canaanites, the seven nations who lived in Israel, that's what they've engaged in. That's the type of behavior that they have performed. That's their lifestyle. And clearly God is not at all pleased with their actions. They've defiled the land by engaging in such behavior. In fact, and it's going to now say, if you want to remain in the land, you should not engage it with do this behavior of los akiritz of them. Don't the land should not spit you out. Kasher ka'ata goya shibisnechem. Just like it's going to spit out the nation that's currently there, right? The Jews were in the desert. God says, I'm going to bring into the land of Canaan. There's people already living there, but they're not going to be able to remain there. They're not deserving of remaining there because they've defiled the land through engaging in these toivos, so these abominable activities. And the Torah is not done with the word toiva. He calls you yasem, he calls toivos, elo, whoever performs these abominations, they'll be cut off on their people. And then, you shall safeguard my charge not to any of these abominable traditions that were done before you, not to contaminate yourselves through them. I am Hashem, your God. So the Torah specifically, when it gives the list of the forbidden relationships, it civilly points to the homosexual act as a to'eba. But then it says, you know, the truth to be told, all these forbidden relationships, the Torah deems a to'eva, an abomination. Okay, so that's Exhibit A in the Torah. We're now gonna move to the end of the Torah, to Sefer Devarim. Now, in Sefer Devarim, in many places, the word to'eva is used. Now, the truth is also it's used in many places in Tanakh, in the Neviim, specifically in Yechezkel, but that's for another time. I just want to focus now on Sefer Devarim and what else is termed a to'eva. Now, as we're going to see, it's not only the homosexual act and these other forbidden relationships that are called to'eva, but there's going to be a whole bunch of other things that are also deemed a to'eva. So the first place we're going to look is in Devarim, Perek Zion, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Vav. This is in the beginning of Parshas Ekev. And here the Torah is once again talking about the Jews entering the land of Israel and discussing the people who have lived in the land beforehand, right? This the seven nations of Canaan, and that God is going to remove them. And then it says, I will place these kingdoms in your hands. You'll destroy, blot out their names. And then it says the following. And when you enter that land and you see their idols, right, you see their molten images that they have created, that they worship, you should not covet and take yourself the silver and the gold that's on these idols, that's associated with these idols. Why? Because you might become seduced by it. For it is an abomination to Hashem your God. Right? It's an abomination. Either the something you desiring this gold and this silver, which will, if you then take it, will have this connection, this association with the idolatry. That's a to'eva. That's an abomination. And you're not allowed to bring this abomination into your home. Now, again, here the context seems to be that we're calling idolatry avodah zarah. All right, we're calling these idols a to'eva, an abomination. So now we've moved beyond forbidden acts of sexual acts of acts of intimacy that are called to'eva. Now we're expanding the definition to refer to idolatry as well, and idol specifically, as that's also a to'eva. It's an abomination in God's eye. Furthermore, under a similar context, a little bit later in Sefer Devarim. This is now Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Here the Torah tells us the following. Lo sakein l'Hashem elokecha, ki ko tovas Hashem asher sanei asu elohem. Here the Torah says that actions that were done for idols, to honor idols, to honor different forms of idolatry, that too God hates. And what actions are we referring to? So if you look at Rav Sadia Gaon and on this pasuk, he says specifically it refers to child sacrifice. That the child sacrifice, which was not uncommon, was a mode of worship, for a particular idol, that is called a toeva. That's called an abomination. Right? Another strong term. So now we're saying not only is the idols called an abomination, but actions that are done to glorify and to celebrate and to worship the idols, those activities are also now called a toeva. Those are called an abomination. In the next chapter in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalad, here now it refers to an entire city, an Irani Dachas, an entire Jewish city. The Gemara says this is a theoretical case, never really happened, but at least in theory, if you have an entire city, imagine this entire Jewish city in Israel, God forbid, who worships idols, and so they have to be tried. If they're convicted, the city is destroyed, the people are killed. So the Torah refers to such behavior as the following. The Torah says, Yatsu Hashem le'ayal b'kibachay duchas yoshvei iram le'mor nelcha v'navdol him acharim ashur l'yudatem. And you have to investigate if in fact this entire city is worshiping idols. V'nei emes nachon avar nesa toiva hazos b'kibachah. If they're engaged in this abomination. So here you have actual idolatry, communal worship of an idol, as referring to as a toeva, as an abomination. Furthermore, just a few psukim later, so here there's a new definition. Again, so far, just a quick recap. So far, we've seen homosexuality, all forbidden relationships, and then we saw idols, things used for worshiping idols, different behaviors that are used to show deference for idols. Sadi Gaon understands child sacrifice, and then people actually engaging in idolatry is called an abomination. And then you have this four-word pasuk that says, this is in Parshas Re'eh, lo socha kol toiva. You should not eat any abomination. Now, what does that mean? You shouldn't eat any abomination. I shouldn't eat an idol? Right? No one would probably eat an idol. So here the Mephorshim struggle with what is this referring to. Now, specifically, the Torah is about to say here what animals you're allowed to eat. Right here, it's going to talk about, just like it spoke about a few weeks ago in Parshas Shemini, what are the signs of a kosher animal? So it gets repeated in Parshas Re'eh, right? Fins and scales, kosher fish, animals are chew its cud and have split hooves. And right before it says what you can eat, it first says don't eat an abomination. So that could be referring to any non-kosher animals called an abomination. Right? That's one possibility. If you look at Rashi quotes the Gemara as two other possibilities. I'll just quote one of them. One is maybe a reference to basar b'chalav of milk and meat. If a person eats milk and meat, that too is called an abomination. So this is very interesting. Here we're moving away from, generally we assume, what are the three major sins a Jew could engage in? So it's idolatry, right? And it's adultery and murder. So we haven't seen anything with murder yet. We have seen idolatry and adultery. But now we're seeing even eating certain foods. That too is called a toeva. That too is called an abomination. Just a couple more examples, and we'll see if we can tie this all together. in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Dalad. So here the Torah has another mention of the word Toeva. And here the Torah says the following. This is in a situation where you have an individual who went back to idolatry, an individual, not a whole city, but an individual who was accused of worshiping idols. So you have to do an investigation. And then it says, "Vinei emes nachon davar." If it turns out to be true, nasa toiva, that this abomination has occurred, so this person can get the theory can be killed, liable to receiving the death penalty. Okay, then something else. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes, and Pasuk Yud Beis. This is in the Parsha Shoftim. The Torah says, again, you're going to come to the land of Israel that God has given you, and lo somad lasos, and you should not learn to do kitoavas hagimel. Don't learn to do the abominations of the people who were there before you, their behavior. Now, what type of behavior are we referring to? We've already talked about idolatry that they've engaged in. So here we're going to go in a little different direction. And here's many things are listed. Mavir b'no b'toba eish. People used to pass their children through the fire, some sort of possibly the witchcraft that they would engage in. Kosein kesamim ma'oni menachesh v'chashe chover chover shov yidoni. Different forms of sorcery and black magic and different different forms of divinations. All these things are also called toivos eila, pasuk yud beis. These also are called abominations. Right, this too is called a toeva. And then the last two examples that I found that the Torah uses toeva, one is a reference to back to a relationships, and specifically the Torah in the Perek Chaf Dalad, pasuk yud Dalad. This is in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. The Torah talks about divorce and how Jewish divorce works. There's a prohibition. A man who divorces his wife is allowed to remarry his wife. They can have a reconciliation, but he can only remarry her if she hasn't married someone else in the interim. Right? If she marries someone else and then whatever, that marriage doesn't work out, and now once again she's no longer married, the first husband cannot marry her again. And if he does, what does the Torah say that is? If he marries his first wife again after she subsequently remarried another person, what do you think? So again, it's our pasuk and perek chaf dalad. Here it's pasuk dalad. O yucha bala rishon asher shachal shuva kali yostol isha acharei asher utama. Again, it's another abomination. That too is called an abomination. And finally, at the very end of Parshas Ki Tetzeh, right before the Torah talks about Amalek, it talks about the prohibition of the requirement in business to have honest weights and measures, and not to cheat someone in terms of scale and the measurements. And the Torah says that if you want to live on the land, so you got to make sure you're careful about this. Like it's an abomination to God, anyone who engages in this behavior. So what emerges is to me, it's like a challenge of prohibitions that are called toeva. Again, I think most people only heard the word toeva. They associate it with the Torah's prohibition with homosexuality, and that the Torah calls a toeva. But immediately after that, the Torah calls all these forbidden relationships a toeva, and then we see all these different things associated with avodah zarah, the idols themselves, the worship of the idols, the various forms of worship. People worshiping idols, a whole community worshiping idols, that's all called Toeva as well. And then we see certain foods, eating certain non-kosher foods, is called a toeva. And then we see different forms of black magic and sorcery and witchcraft and divinations is called a toeva. And then this unusual case of remarrying your first wife who was married someone else in the interim, that's a toeva. And then, like, out of nowhere, seems to be, like, you know, financial issues, you know, cheating people. If you cheat someone, that's called a toeva. So how do we make sense of all this? So I just want to suggest one possibility. Where does the word toeva first appear in the Torah? Again, so most people think about it in this week's parsha, in the middle of Vayikra, with homosexuality, but that's not the first time the word toeva appears in the Torah. In fact, it appears in the first book of the Torah, all the way back in Parsha and Sefer Bereishis, in Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Beis, and it's in the Yosef story. Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Beis, and this is when the brothers of Yosef have come to Egypt, and they're in search for food. They're hoping to be able to buy some grain that they heard that Egypt has stored up, has accumulated. And so, you know, Yosef recognizes his brothers and he invites them in for a meal. I remember Yosef invites the brothers for a meal, but we're told that when they eat this meal, that Yosef is there with all his servants and different dignitaries of Egyptian society are there as well, but they eat separately. Right, Yosef seats his family separate from the rest of from the Egyptians. Everyone's at a separate table. Why? Because the Egyptians, sounds like they refuse to eat bread with the Jews. For it was an abomination to the Egyptians. And Rashi, and here's where Rashi defines the word toeva for us. Davar sonoi hu, it's something that is a very strong word, toeva. A toeva is something that is hated. That's a very strong term. We usually don't like to use such a strong language. You hate something, but this is it's something that was hated. Now, why they wouldn't eat together, that's a matter of dispute. It was anti-Semitism. Many of the Farshim suggest that it was had to do with the fact that the Jews ate meat and the Egyptians worshipped the animals, and but it was like there was this animosity, anger, deep rooted disgust, hatred of the other. That's the first time the word appears. It does appear a second time, not in Bereishis, but in Shemos. In Shemos, in Perek Ches, Pasuk Chaf Beis, when Moshe, one of the times that Moshe confronts a Paro, and Moshe tells Paro, you got to let us go, we want to worship our God, in the desert, a 3-day journey. So Paro, he says, okay, you want to worship God, your God? Fine. You can worship your God at our local stadium down the streets. Why do you got to leave? Here in Egypt, there's plenty of space in Egypt to worship your God. What does Moshe respond? Vayomer Moshe lo nachon lasoskin. No, we can't do that. Why? Ki toavas Mitzrayim. It will be an abomination to the Egyptians. Leniham, before their eyes, lo yiskuluno, they might stone us to death. And Rashi explains what is the abomination. He actually gives a couple of possibilities. But he says, again, the same thing as he said in Bereishis, Davar sonoi hu lemitzrayim. Zvicha shanu zovchim. Shorei yirasam anu zovchim. Right, the Egyptians worship the animal. We're going to be going to kill it. That's our mode of worship is through animal sacrifice. And that's sonoi, that's hated. So it sounds like whenever this word toeva is used, it's a very harsh, strong term, and it's something which is despicable, which is loathsome, and hate it. And so what? But then, but why are all these things called, you know, called a toeva? You know, there's many things that the Torah prohibits, but it's only these specific items, and again, they seem to be wide ranging, that it's called toeva. Here's my theory. I don't know if anyone else says this, but this is my my thought. You know, there's certain things that the Torah prohibits that that make sense. Right, that we can understand. For example, killing. Killing, okay, most rational people can understand it's not a good idea to kill people. Stealing, okay, that's not a nice thing to do. It's not nice to steal something. That's not allowed. I don't know, eating blood, right? I'll eat blood, right? So that's disgusting. Of course, the Torah... Like, so my theory is that there's many things that the Torah prohibits, and that for the Jewish people, when they heard these things, they accepted it. All good. Makes sense. I'm okay with it. Not going to impact me. I understand where it's coming from. Resonates. But then there are certain things that were just normative to society at that time. There were things that were widely done, performed, considered acceptable, considered normal modes of behavior. And I want to suggest that the Torah had to sort of shock our system. The Torah had to sort of awaken us to the fact that in God's eyes, that just as killing is horrible and that stealing is terrible, that eating certain things is obviously going to be, disgusting, and eating blood or something. These other things also, in God's eyes, are equally as abhorrent. In other words, what I want to suggest is not necessarily that these things are any worse than anything else, but these are things that God had to underline that these are not allowed. Because otherwise, people at that time would have just assumed that these are things everyone does. And so what are the things that everyone does? People worship idols, right? That was the mode of worship, right? That was the way that a person, engaged deities. It was, they had these idolatry, and there was different and normal ways that they practiced idolatry, and that's what was done, right? The whole novelty of Avraham Avinu was that no, there's only one God. But that was something new. That was something that no one else had thought of. Otherwise, it was considered to be normal, practice to worship idols. So God has to underline that, no, it's a toeva. And anything associated with that is called a toeva. All the forbidden relationships, right? There's a medrash that says very powerfully that, it's coming up to Shavuos. And so this is a connection to Shavuos, right? That it says that at Har Sinai, the Jewish people were crying. Why were they crying? So specifically, what bothered them was when God told them about all the forbidden relations. You can't be married to two sisters. You can't be married to your aunts, right? And apparently, there were people who were married, had those marriages, because that was considered to be normal. And therefore, the Torah has to say the note that this is also not allowed. And to underscore it, God says toeva, right? It's an abomination. Homosexuality, again, homosexuality is nothing new. It's normal human behavior since beginning of time. That some men have attraction to men, some women attraction to women. We can assume it's biological, and yet the Torah, for whatever its reason, for another time to discuss, the Torah does not allow it, but the Torah has to underscore that it's not allowed. That even though to you it seems to be perfectly acceptable, why should it be, if this is the way I was born, why should I not be allowed to be fulfilled in a loving relationship that makes sense to me, that resonates to me? So for some reason, God says, no, you can't do it. Just like everything else you can't do. And again, other things that God says we can't do, we understand. So God doesn't have to underscore, that it's not allowed. That says, can't do it, okay. But this thing that to us doesn't make sense, that seems to be goes against nature, God has to say, no, toeva. Just like he has to say other things that otherwise would be considered to be normative, like idolatry. And like the other arayos. And I think you can make the similar argument for the other things that the Torah says, right? Certain foods, right? Like milk and meat. Well, I can't eat milk and meat. What's the big deal? Okay, I understand why I can't drink blood. That's gross. But milk and meat? No, that's a toeva as well. Black magic and divinations and sorcery, that was normal practice that people engage in. The Torah has to label that a toeva. You know, marrying your original wife. Well, why can't I do that? And some actually suggest that sometimes the Torah is actually was hinting to something more sinister, that people would want to have different wives at different times, and they're constantly swapping wives, and the Torah considers that whole behavior abhorrent. Different Torah says, okay, you divorce your wife, you can't remarry after she's married someone else and tried out other. That's abhorrent. The marriage doesn't work out, and then two of you want to try again before you've married someone else. Okay, that for sure is acceptable. But otherwise, again, whatever was considered to be acceptable, no, that's not acceptable in God's eyes. That's a toeva. And then finally, the financial matters, cheating. So, you know, that's business. People cheat in business. That's how you get ahead, right? You play games on the stock market. Whatever, all the things that people do with the cheating on their taxes and inside trading and stuff like that. The Torah says, no, toeva. That's unacceptable, just like murder is unacceptable. So that's my theory. Again, I don't know anyone else who says this. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. But I think it makes sense that the Torah uses this term in many different contexts. But why does it use the term? Because again, wants to show us that these things that we may think are okay, and that there's nothing wrong with it. There's just normal human behavior. This is just the way the world operates. These are not acceptable. You know, just like God says don't kill and God says don't steal, and we, of course, we're going to follow that. We have to follow these rules as well. And if we don't get it, you know, God's going to put it in bold. He's going to underline it. And so God didn't have Moses didn't have a personal computer. So his way of bolding it was throwing the word toeva in. That's my suggestion. Again, I don't know if it's correct or not, but I think it makes sense. Again, whether it's right or not, I think it makes sense. And I think the lesson is very important that that when it comes to serving Hashem, serving our Kaddish Baruch Hu, there's some things that when it comes to our Yiddishkeit resonate. It makes sense. It's meaningful, it's joyous, it's wonderful, it's inspiring. And then there's other times that in our Jewish day-to-day and annual cycle and in the Torah observance that things we don't resonate so much. And sometimes there are things that we have a very difficult time with, that we really struggle and we even in our heart disagree with. And that's okay. It's okay to have those feelings and to bother us. There's nothing wrong with that, to have those questions, those doubts. But at the end of the day, as a follower of God and as someone who upholds the Torah, it's the Torah in its entirety, right? It's everything. Even the things that we don't agree with, even the things that trouble us, we still need to embrace it. And we need to embrace it just like the things that make sense to us and find wonderful and joyous, like holidays and Shabbos. It's all wonderful. So the other things that also we're not so fond of, that we struggle with, those things we need to be fully committed to as well. And we need to understand that it's all God's word. It's all the God's will. It's all what God tells us is right and is wrong. And we can struggle with it, and we can grapple with it. But at the end of the day, we as Jews, Nasa Venisha, our Sinai, we accept it all. And it's all a part of what God wants from us. And hopefully we can understand it, and we can find meaning through it. But even those moments when we can't, it's the entirety of the Torah that we accept and that we observe. Okay, wish everyone a very wonderful Shabbos.